Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Runner goes. And they got him. Perfect throw.
Everything about that was the big leagues. 1.28 unload time from Webb. He gave Heidemann a chance. Heidemann's got a very quick release, and he has to have it.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Tyler Heinemann. We talked about him a lot yesterday, about his poorest defensive efforts, catcher's interference. Well, right there, throws out Tapia, who's a quick outfielder for the Colorado Rockies, has nothing but speed, gets him out there at second base, catches him stealing. Nice play by Heinemann. Good game by Logan Webb, as he may be one of the only young pitchers in the system. We'll see what happens here in the future with the Giants farm when it comes to the pitchers. But Logan Webb, not a bad start yesterday. Heinemann, pretty damn good behind the backstop yesterday in Colorado as they get ready. First pitch at 12:10 as the Giants go for the split and try to even their record at 7 games apiece, 7-7, try to improve to 500.
I'm pumped
baseball
up.
Baseball, Butch and Shasky, but I always thought if you got that night win and then you bounce back less than 24 hours, which they're about to do, damn, if you could get on that bird with a win, that's got to bode well, and you would be 500, buddy, 500.
Well, and 500 after facing two of the better teams in the National League. I think that would be – you know, well, yeah, you're right.
I wasn't putting the Rockies in there yet. I know they're off to a good start, but damn, they suck.
Of course I am.
Too.
Yeah, but look what they're doing this year. I think they deserve their credit, and they look like they're a legitimate team. I think their pitching is the best I've ever seen it. I can't remember when the Rockies had this much pitching. I mean, I don't know where John Gray is on their particular rotation, right, but, I mean, he gave them a pretty damn good
Bell
outing for somebody who's a fourth or a fifth, you know? So, I think the Giants are sitting pretty. They got to win today, though. I mean, again, my barometer, if you will, my variance, is you can't fall farther than three games under 500. And that's where I think, like, it's situation critical. You have an opportunity where you can not lose the clubhouse, per se. Just everything loses focus. I am worried, though, and I want to ask you guys something. I'm worried about Brandon Crawford. Like, I really am. And the reason I bring it up is I have an expectation for him. I don't think he's Ozzie Smith, right, but he has been a reliable player for this team for a long time. He looks so uninterested. I'm just really disappointed with Brandon Crawford's effort level. Not anything more than body language and effort level. And I don't want to, like, read too much into it, but where are the both of you at with Brandon Crawford, B?
Well, you already know where I'm at with Brandon Crawford. You already know where I'm at with him, Shasky. I mean,
he's a bum.
I'm not going to say that. He's a champion. He's a two-time World Series champion. But in the field, he just – the ball yesterday, what was that, the fifth, sixth inning yesterday, bro, where he just got right by him at short. He makes that play all the time, routinely. That's an easy routine play for Brandon Crawford. And he's not getting to those balls at the plate. You know, he rolls over into the double play yesterday late in the game. I'm down on him. I'm down on him because, look, the body language, look, some people will laugh at us and say, oh, you guys are too big on body language. But it does mean something to me. It just doesn't look like he's a very confident baseball player right now, whether it's his glove, whether it's his bat. And maybe it has to do with whether or not he knows that he may not play every day. Maybe that's messing with his psyche. But you know what? When you get paid the big bucks that you're paying, you got paid handsomely by Bobby Evans, you got to be ready to play every single night, day in and day out. And right now, Brandon Crawford doesn't look like he's ready to play every single day. And it's actually a sad sight. It's a sad sight to see.
Goo, where you at with him? No, I guess he's out. I guess his mic's out. My bad. Well, here's one of the things that I got to say, B. I'm disappointed in him, Belt, Posey. This goes back to Matt Cain. There's just something about that era of Giants players. They didn't take their body as serious as I would like them to. Coming off of what I saw of Barry Bonds and how he prolonged his career physically and how he was able to maintain his body well into his 40s, there's one thread. If you were looking at the Giants during their dynasty, all their bodies fell apart. I'm looking at Madison Bumgarner right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He looks like he's put on 30 pounds.
Oh, it's awful.
You know, he does. He really does. And I heard Dave Fleming when we had him on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. I was listening to him, and he was saying, you know, weight training and nutrition and all these things have taken a big leap forward in the last 5 years. Well, the Giants relate to that party. If there's one area that I really hope all this analytics and all this advanced metric stuff is going, I really do hope that they're taking all these young prospects that I'm excited to see, and they're explaining to them, your body is your temple, all right? If you want to play deep into your 30s, you have got to maintain your weight. Matt Cain had weight issues, in my opinion, and that really kind of hampered him on the back end of his career.
I thought it was just his arm. His arm. He had a lot of bullets on that arm. But that was him. He looked like a bulldog. He was a bulldog.
He
pitched a lot of innings when the Giants were playing in a lot of meaningless games. I thought his arm slot, you saw it. I thought the perfect game that he had against the Houston Astros, I thought that was a sign of the worst, of sign of times to come from Matt Cain. And somebody, I forgot who it was. Oh, my guy Geese. Not really my guy, but we play fantasy football together. We go at it. But he's a pitching coach. And he said, look at Matt Cain's arm slot. His arm slot is dropping and dropping and dropping. There's something up with that elbow. There's something up with that shoulder. He started having arm issues. Now, whether or not he was in the best shape, I honestly don't know. But I thought with Matt Cain, it was his arm and his shoulder that really failed him later in his career. And I thought he did try to come back. But, man, he pitched a lot of innings as a youngster, a lot. And they rolled Matt Cain. And by the time that perfect game came around that second half of the season, he just got worn out. He got worn out.
But, Bonte, he always looked like Bobby from King of the Hill. All I'm saying is, dude, hit the treadmill a little. And if I'm going to give you $100 million,
nobody was complaining.
So damn good.
Nobody was complaining about Matt Cain when he was throwing zeros up on there.
This is something I've been saying the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
Everybody that era.
Come on.
That era of Giants fans. I'm telling you.
2010 playoff. 2010 playoff run for Matt Cain. You're really going to talk about him being in shape? You guys are wearing number 18 jerseys all over the place.
I'm not skinny fat.
I was a Timmy guy. Come on, man. But look, there's a common thread of that entire dynasty. Those guys didn't take care of their bodies. They all aged poorly.
Did Timmy take over his body?
No. I mean, he had degenerative hip. He had hip replacement surgery at 29 years old. So I'm just saying, look at
Maybe
Buster.
Maybe it's the torque with the way he throws that pitch, and he torques towards whole plate.
No, that is
Maybe
absolutely that's part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're looking too deeply into it.
No, I'm
about
not looking
being
too
in
deep.
Shape.
Crawford,
yeah, absolutely.
Belt, Posey, Cain, there's a common thread here. Pablo Sandoval, none of them are in the best shape. I'm just saying, if you
Come
just
on.
Take a step back and look at it, you don't think there's anything to that?
No, absolutely not. I think it was just arm and shoulder issues. I don't think
we'll
it had nothing to do.
That.
I don't think it had nothing to do with whether or not Matt Cain hit the treadmill or not. I think the guy did work out. They wouldn't have gave him the money if he didn't work out. And now, I know it was kind of a loyalty contract, which I was very critical of. But come on, man. These are major league. These are major leaguers, man. Major leaguers. I don't think they're walking into the yard saying, "Oh, I'm going to eat Taco Bell every damn day." And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Taco Bell. It really isn't.
Taco Bell.
It's really not. Taco Bell is really, really good. But Matt Cain, man, he out of shape. I don't know if I buy that.
Look at all the other teams in baseball right now in just the last couple of years. And then look at the Giants when they're standing there on the line. They're the most out of shape team in the league. And that is a fact.
Are you sure about that?
And Yes, I am very sure about that.
You watch every single team out there in baseball to say Giants are the most out-of-shape team in baseball? I don't know about that.
Gary Sanchez sticks out like a sore thumb on the New York Yankees when you look all that lineup and everyone's standing out there. When you look at the Giants, Gabe Kapler sticks out like a sore thumb because he's in more shape than any of the players. You may not think there's a thread of truth to this, but again, I'm watching these guys decline in front of my eyes, and I do think there's a correlation between the two. Part of the reason.
Maybe they were not as good as we thought they were. Maybe they were not as good as we thought they were. Like honestly, Brandon Crawford, you know, everybody, he got paid, and you hear Guru sometimes talking about him like he's a great hitting shortstop, like he's Nomar Garcia-Para. He's not that guy. He's really not. Brandon Belt, everybody talked about him like he's Will Clark. He's not that, but I don't think it has anything to do with shape. These guys are in shape. These are big leaguers, and it's just baseball for crying out loud. Hey, I'm seeing here on the text line, Bartolo Colon pitched until he was 55. There's a lot of big boys
bigs,
out there. How long did David Wells pitch?
You're picking the outliers.
I'm just giving you names.
You're plucking
I'm giving
the
you
outliers.
Names. I'm giving
and
you
which
names.
One of these guys is going to pitch that long? Not one. Again, not one of them. Again, look, it's a combination of things. If Brandon Crawford wants to play shortstop for the remainder of his career, he's delusional. He's got to be in better shape. He has no range left and right. I mean, I love the guy. We love the guy. He does not look the best. We all love him. I'm just telling you the truth, and I bet if he was looking in the mirror, he'd probably admit it to himself.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I'm not a doctor. I mean, it's kind of sad.
I'm not a doctor.
I want to see them maximize the end of their careers.
But maybe they're just not that good, Shasky. Maybe they're just not that good.
That's
you know
part
what I'm saying?
Of it.
If they were in tip-top shape, you think the numbers are going to change for Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford? Are you kidding me?
I'm sure his range would look a lot better.
You're kidding yourself
if you think that he doesn't look a little bigger than he has in years past.
These guys don't win championships with being out of shape. They don't win championships with being out of shape.
They haven't won for 5 years.
Okay, but I'm saying, you're talking about Matt Cain, Lipsicum, and all these guys, and that whole regime, and Posey's not in shape. Posey hip just gave out on him, and he's done from sitting in the squad all the time. I don't think that has anything to do with Buster Posey not being in shape.
Bonte, you can agree with whatever you want to agree with. I know in my heart of hearts, this is one of the worst nutrition diet teams in the league. Just look at their roster. There's truth to this, all right? There's truth to this. All right, they don't have athletes. They've never had athletes, and they don't have guys who take care of their bodies and age gracefully. That's not been a common thread for this organization for the last 10 years.
Okay,
you
Victor
can be
Conti.
In denial.
All right,
that's
Victor
fine,
Conti.
But there's a truth to this.
Okay, Victor Conti.
They
I didn't know you were a nutritionist
from other teams
guy.
In baseball.
Oh, I didn't know you were a nutritionist guy now, Victor
Dr.
Conti.
Anthony Fauci.
Come on, man. What are you talking about? What are we doing here? Now we're looking at them whether or not these guys work out every single day. Are you kidding me? Are you out of shape in baseball? It has nothing to do with how bad they've become.
Crawford's had more errors this year than he's had in the last 2 years.
You think
combined.
Donovan Solano's in great shape?
No, I just don't think he's very good. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the guys getting paid the most amount
too.
Of money.
He's got errors too. Heidemann's got errors. Come on. Samarja's not in shape. The guy used to play football. You go in that clubhouse, Samarja doesn't look like he has an ounce of body fat on him. Doesn't mean anything. The guy stinks.
Cueto's another one. I mean, Cueto looks a little hefty. We love Cueto.
I
love Cueto.
Wait a minute.
Love Cueto.
We just talked about
Cueto. He's a thick boy.
We just talked about Cueto working out before the season. Oh, man, look at his Instagram page. Oh, look at him working out, this and that. The guy can barely go 5 innings. Is it because he's out of shape or in shape? No. It's because he don't have the stuff that he used to have. The velocity's not there. He's a nibbler now. I don't think that has anything to do with whether or not he's not in shape. Come on.
It's a sad indictment of your organization when your manager is the most ripped dude in the entire system.
He's the most ripped dude in Major League Baseball. He just got through playing not too long ago.
Yeah.
Come on, man. All right, let's go back to Farhan Zaidi. Farhan Zaidi talked about Buster Posey and how Buster Posey opting out has it impacted the roster or not. Here's Farhan Zaidi.
I guess you could go both ways. On the one hand, that kind of apprenticeship, you know, being with Buster on the team would have a lot of value. But, you know, on the flip side, when Buster did opt out, it created even more opportunity at the catching position. So you know, I'd say it didn't really impact the decision one way or another. And again, this is driven less by short-term need and more by what's best for the organization overall. And obviously Buster is going to be back next year, so that's a dynamic we can deal with then. You know, the other thing is we've got a couple catchers on the team, Tyler Heidman and Chadwick Tromp, who were really good in AAA last year, have done a nice job swinging the bat for us this year. So I don't want to act like they're not part of this conversation. They've done a nice job for us and worked their way into the picture in terms of our catching depth going forward.
No, hearing Farhan talk about Buster Posey, Shasky, and I'm thinking, man, what if we've seen Buster Posey in a Giants uniform for the last time? Because don't forget they used a high pick on Patrick Bailey to catch out at North Carolina State, who a lot of people say he's better behind the backstop than even Joey Bart. I wonder if we've seen the last of Buster Posey out here in San Francisco.
I've thought about this long and hard. I kind of feel like it's a 50-50 at this point. Like, it really feels that way. I don't know where he's going to be at emotionally. I don't know where the organization is going to be at. I don't know how much Joey Bart being delayed is impacted by not trying to insult Buster Posey, if at all. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know where he's going to be at. I don't know where the rest of baseball is going to be at. I don't know what team would want to take him on. He's only got a year or so left, depending on the club option that they've got going with him. Honestly, B, there's very few times in life where I say I legitimately do not know and I can go in either direction. Buster Posey being a San Francisco Giant in 2021 feels like one of those. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I just look at this team and, like again, how often have you really actually thought about him while watching the Giants games?
Not much. Not much, to be honest with you. Because when he opted out, it happened so long ago that you're like, all right, you embrace that. Okay, Posey's not going to be here. All right, now we're seeing the young guys, and you're seeing guys like Brantley, you're seeing guys like Heinemann. I haven't really thought about them at all. I miss them. I do. There's times where you kind of just daydream, like, damn, remember they had Buster Posey? But at the same time, I really haven't given much thought to Buster Posey this year. Once he opted out, that is.
Well, Dan, and don't you think that's also because of his precipitous decline in productivity? Like, maybe. He's not the same Buster Posey that he's been for the last few years.
I was eager to see what Buster Posey was going to do this year, especially with an extended rest, with the extended rest that they had due to the pandemic. I was eager to see what Buster Posey could do in 60 games. Really did. I wanted to see if he can he muscle up 5? Can he muscle up 8? Yes, there has been a precipitous decline at the plate, but you know what? He's still pretty damn good behind the backstop and managing pitching staffs.
He's the best they've ever had behind the backstop. I mean, they miss his cerebral. They miss his defense. Think of how many guys have stolen bases this year. Think of all the different situations where guys have gotten on first and they are dying to steal second to put themselves in scoring position. And then one of your pitchers, you know, gives up a bloop single and that guy scores easily. Like, that's happened time and time again this year. They've got, what, 3 catcher interferences that you referenced with Heinemann?
Yep.
They've had 2 or 3 different gaffes defensively from the catching position on plays in front of the plate, on plays to the plate. Yeah, they miss him big time defensively. And that's the area. Look, if I was going to make an argument for why Joey Bart should be up, if he is a better defensive player than Brantley, Tromp, and Heinemann, then he should have already been up. Because you're doing a disservice to the entire pitching staff and the rest of the team. And you're doing a disservice to Gabe Kapler, who's trying to win every single day. Like, that's why, I mean, we could talk about the bat till we're blue in the face. They miss the defense of Buster Posey so much. The approach of who they're, like, how many 2-strike hits have been this year? I mean, Bonte, I've seen it in every single game where somebody hangs one. I'm like,
a lot of
why
O2
are we
pitches.
Even,
O2, Manny
why
Machado.
Why are we even throwing up? Like, it should be in the dirt. They miss his cerebral awareness behind the plate so much.
Let's hear Farhan on the pitchers in the system, because this is what's got me going. We know about the bats that are coming up here, the Bishops of the world, the Barts of the world, the Ramoses of the world, the Lucianos of the world. But what about the pitchers? Pitchers in the system. Here's what Farhan Zaidi had to say about that on DRK.
Yeah, it's interesting. I you know, when you look at position players versus pitchers coming through the farm system. With position players, in my view, and I think in the organization's view, it's got to be more of a steady climb. I mean, guys have to get in, you know, a couple hundred at bats, at least a half season at every level to show proficiency before you kind of continue to move them up. Pitchers can move a lot faster. I mean, you know, you have a guy who is an A-ball and makes 3 starts and throws 18 shutout innings and strikes out 25 guys, and you say, okay, you know, this guy's too good for this level. It's a little bit easier for pitchers, I think, to demonstrate dominance in smaller samples than it is for position players. So pitchers have the ability to move more quickly, and you know, that certainly factors into our thinking as well. I mean, we've got some guys like Sean Jelly, Tristan Beck, who we acquired last year, Seth Corey, who are guys who could be in our rotation in the very near future. I wouldn't even rule out 2021. So there's certainly guys in the pipeline. And, you know, again, with pitchers, you know, you've got injuries, you've got attrition, and you just have more pop-up guys. So there's a little bit more volatility on that side, but we definitely have some guys we're excited about who could make an impact for us next year.
Interesting stuff there from Farhan. And you know what? When this payroll gets reduced, when you get when guys like Brandon Belt and Crawford and Samardzija and Cueto and Posey, when they all move on, I have a feeling that the Giants will try to develop the hitters in a farm system. They may go out and be active in free agency when it comes to getting pitchers, especially Bulldogs. I'm not saying they're going to go get Gerrit Cole, but guys like that, I feel like the Giants will use their money towards the pitching staff as opposed to hitters, especially if they're slow to develop these pitchers in their farm system.
Yeah, I think they're going to take the A's approach, which is let's bring up a bunch of our lineup guys, let them develop for a year or two, and then we'll draft a ton of pitching and then back end that so that by the time our everyday lineup is really good to go, we can supplement that with young pitching and then piecemeal with the free agent stuff. You bring up the contracts of Belt and Crawford and Longoria and Buster Posey. Those aren't what did in the Giants. Like, they didn't help, but those aren't what did in the Giants. You know what did in the Giants? Not developing cheap, controllable pitching for years on end. Paying Jake Peavy when he was way past his prime. Paying Hudson when he was past his prime. Paying for Melanson on the free agency because you had no young bullpen arms. Paying for Samardzija. Paying for Johnny Cueto. All of those pitching contracts, none of them really worked out. Like, none of them. Yeah, you swung the trade for Peavy and won the World Series that year. You tried to roll the dice the next year with him and it didn't work. It just didn't work. You blew a bunch of money. The free agent money that they spent was to me as crippling as any of the lineup. Like, overpaying for Belt and Crawford and those guys, that didn't help. But it was the pitching that done. I mean, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. When we're looking at this financial situation that they're in now, that's where they screwed up because they had no young pitching to develop.
No young pitching, but also the young hitters. I mean, the hitters got old overnight. They got old overnight. And you pay for production with the Brandons, and you pay for production with Buster Posey. You pay for production with Longoria with the trade there. And they're just not producing for what they're getting paid. You look at those contracts and you look at the production, that also has something to do with it. How many two-out knocks have you seen over the last 3 to 4 to 5 years since they won that World Series? Not many. Their situational baseball hasn't really been good, especially at the plate. So it's been a little bit of everything. Yeah, sure, you spent money on Melanson because you thought that was, okay, you could patch up the hole in the bullpen. Well, it turns out you needed more than just Mark Melanson. You look at the rotation. Okay, man, damn, we paid for the wrong guys here. Why did we pay Samardzija? Why did we pay Cueto? Damn, Bunker, what do you do here? It's been a little bit of everything with this roster, on top of the fact that they got old in a hurry. And let's be real, even the second half of 2016, they're the worst team in baseball after having the best record in baseball in the first half of the season. That wasn't a small sample size. That was the reality that was ahead for the Giants. And they thought, Bobby Evans and Sabian and the company, thought that, hey, we're just a move away from beating the Chicago Cubs. No. You're the worst team in the second half. And I think they didn't look at that too critically there, that second half of the season in 2016. And that led to a lot of problems here.
Yeah, but if you have a wave of young talent coming through, I mean, again, before this year with the pandemic, you have 30-something rounds of draft picks. You have international money. You have so many ways to replenish your farm system, and they never prioritize that. Like, they never did. So what ends up happening is you only can get talent via free agency or overpaying the guys that you have currently, or, which is what they did with some of their younger productive players, like Duffy, you trade that guy for a controllable pitching asset. So, like, they were really against the eight ball, and it all goes back to the farm. Like, to me, it goes back to the farm, because that's the one thing that you can really have an infinite supply of.
Let me ask you this real quick.
If you have an infinite supply of talent, then you always have options, Bonte.
Let me ask you this, though. Outside of the Lincecum, Bumgarner, Kane, Posey, Pablo, this farm system really hasn't been good over the last 3 years. Let's just keep it a buck here. The Giants farm system has been one of the worst in baseball over the last 30 years. If you take out that chunk where they did bring up when they did bring up the young guns of Kane, Lincecum, Baumgartner, Posey, Pablo, and then if you want to say Belton Crawford, that's fine too. They really haven't had a good farm system, Shasky. They really haven't.
They haven't had a good depth of farm, but if you just take a step back, I mean, you drafted a pitcher who got you two Cy Youngs. You drafted another pitcher and won you a World Series.
Take that out over the last 30 years.
You can't take that out. You can't take that out because that run was really spectacular.
It was spectacular.
And I think it matters.
But this
you drafted a rookie of the year. You developed him. He ended up becoming an MVP. Like, again, it cycled down. I'm not saying it was endless. It wasn't great, but they did do some good things, and I do think that needs to be acknowledged. Look, the Joe Nathan tripe trades, the Francisco Liriano trades, like we can go back to all these little
exactly.
Zach Wheeler trade. They've made a lot of interesting moves over the years to acquire people that they thought would help them win now. Going back to Bonds, right? That was kind of the organizational philosophy. Then they cycled down for a little while. Then we saw that development period, but then they went right back into that everything that we draft is to be traded away. And they just didn't do a good job cultivating enough talent to come through. I'm not here to say they were the best farm in the world. They weren't. But they weren't the worst.
They weren't the worst, but if you take out that chunk, and if you don't want to take it out, don't take it out, fine. But it's the same damn regime. It was the same damn regime from 93 on. John Barr, Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans. They were there all that time. And outside of that, when they finally said, you know what, let's look at the pitching. Let's fix the pitching in the farm system. When that was like the first time under that regime where they really put an emphasis on the pitching staff saying we need to develop young arms. We need to really hunker down on the farm system. That's it. That's it. This farm system is stunk outside of that. Really has.
Yeah, okay, again, you drafted Brian Wilson. You developed him into an all-world closer. You brought up a bunch of guys that ended up helping you win championships that you valued more than the rest of baseball, and Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt. And I don't think they're world beaters, but again, that was the nucleus of your three championships.
Right.
Like, if they hadn't won any championships, I probably would lean in your direction, but they do deserve some benefit of the doubt.
They do.
I mean, come on, man.
I'm saying outside of that five-year run, that six-year run where you went three championships in 5 years, outside of that, that regime of Sabian, Evans, and Barr, sure, they traded a lot away. They traded a lot of prospects away, right? They did. I give you that. I grant you that because they were in win-now mode. But, damn, it hasn't really been good. We keep talking about outfielders being developed. We keep talking about first basemen being developed. It really hasn't been good out here in San Francisco when it comes to the farm. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. We'll take more of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We still have some Farhan Zaidi sound. The play, Giants going for the split in Denver, Colorado. A's going for the sweep against the Rangers. Plus, we'll get to some football talk and NBA bubble talk right here on 95.7 The Game. Daryl DeGuru Johnson, Joe Shatsky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill, and it's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, talking bodybuilding here at 95.7 The Game. Bodybuilding.
What I miss?
Bodybuilding. Don't forget to download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Farhan Zaidi, president of baseball ops for the Giants, joined DRK yesterday at 5 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game for the first time ever. Don't also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Want to play a little in and out. By the way, first of all, no, before we do that, we've got a Tiger update. Tiger Watch.
Hey, it's Tiger.
That's phenomenal.
Ah, yes, Tiger Woods out there on the course right now. He's even par through 11. Tied for 36th overall. It's been very cold out here near Lake Merced, but I got to tell you guys, the leaderboard is shocking right now. Martin Kaima, Xander Schauffele, Zach Johnson, two-time major champion, all at 5-under, with Scottie Scheffler leading the way. He's through 16 holes out there at Harding Park, your municipal golf course here in San Francisco, out there
Shasky,
on Lake Merced.
not your favorite, and Bonte, chime in, please. Who's the real Tiger now? Who's the best golfer now? Who's number one? Because I don't know. Not your favorite or who you root for. Who's the best? Who's the dog right now?
Well, Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka's the guy that
Brooks
is probably
Koepka.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka's kind of the beast of the entire pack right now. But there is no Tiger. Tiger's the outlier. Tiger's the Michael Jordan and then some of golf. And so we don't know what we're going to get from Tiger from week to week, day to day, shot to shot. He looked good early. He was up to at least 2 under, but obviously bogeyed a couple of holes here, so he's back down to even.
How's his body looking?
He looks good. If he can get under par, I think he'll be okay. It's going to be windy and cold all 3 days. Tiger looking good, y'all.
I was reading about Tiger, how the weather will affect him, about getting his joints loose and getting his back loose. He's used to playing in Florida in 95-degree weather, and here it is cold. You got the fog, and it's always foggy around that area. Well, you got some days where it's not. For the most part, it's always foggy around there.
It peeks its head out a little.
Yeah,
it
sometimes, peeks its head out a every little. Now and then. But
what's the other name for the fog? I'm sorry, Bonte, that you guys went crazy. What did somebody call fog in San Francisco?
Carl the fog.
Carl, what was that?
Look, I'm sorry. Personally, I'm done arguing with people who are not from here to tell me what to call the city and what they call the fog. If you want to call it Carl the fog, go ahead. Don't talk to me, though. Please don't talk to me. If you want to call it San Fran, don't talk
to me.
That
was strange.
Just get out of my face. I don't want to hear from you. I don't. I'm done. I can't waste energy on people calling it Carl the Fog. Can't do it.
I hear you. Ride for your city, baby. I love it.
Hey, I'm pumped up. I'm telling you right now, man. Fog, sun, it don't matter. We got a major championship out here at Harding Park. I'm excited. Guru, we've been talking about these Giants for the last, a little bit of time here. I want to ask you guys about Brandon Belt. I do. I want to ask a question about Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt passed Rich Aurelia for 9th all-time on the San Francisco Giants doubles list. So 9th all-time in doubles. When it's all said and done, I mean, is he going to have better numbers across the board than Will Clark? It feels like sacrilegious to say. I'm not saying batting average and things like that. I'm saying the counting stats, home runs, doubles. I mean, where are you at on Brandon Belt and where he ranks as far as first baseman? He's never going to be McCovey. I'm not saying that's who he is. But are his numbers going to look a lot better 10 to 15 years from now?
I mean, I think a lot of numbers are going to look better. It's the day and age in baseball, right? It's the era that they play in. But in my opinion, Brandon Belt, his legacy with the Giants, look, they're going to be – a lot of people are going to say he's a champ. He's a two-time champ. He's a two-time champion. Defensively, he was pretty damn good. Was he JT Snow? No. I'm the wrong guy to ask about Brandon Belt because I'm not too high on Brandon Belt. From the hype that he received before he was called up, and then you saw him bounce up and down his first couple years in the big leagues, and then what we expected from him. You look at the numbers, how many 20 home run seasons?
None.
Like a lot of people are like, oh, but he walks. For me in my lifetime, it's Will Clark, JT Snow, and then Brandon Belt. In my lifetime. Now, Willie McCovey's the best first baseman this franchise, I believe, has ever seen. But in my lifetime, being 37 years old, it's Will Clark, it's JT Snow, and it's Brandon Belt. And I don't care that Brandon Belt has rings. JT Snow was a better Giant, in my opinion, than Brandon Belt. And he played on some damn good Giants teams.
And he was the best player in the World Series for the Giants if we're looking at batting average and things like that. I mean, he was awesome in that 2002 World Series. I mean, JT Snow's one of my favorite Giants of all time. He's way better defensively than Brandon Belt. I always hear people, Belt is so good defensively. The range and the arm that JT had to start a double play on a ball hit in the infield, to go over the shoulder, backhand, scoop. I mean, he had everything. I'm probably with you, though. Will Clark, Snow, and then Brandon Belt. Mark Carrion doesn't make the list. Aubrey Huff certainly doesn't make the list. So, yeah, there's no doubt. In our lifetime, I'm talking about.
Right.
It's just funny. He's such a polarizing player. And when I saw him pass Rich Aurelia, I was like, damn.
For doubles.
Damn, I loved Rich Aurelia so much. Richie was my guy, number 35. That was my dude. And Rich had a shorter stint than Brandon Belt in San Francisco. So all things being equal.
Longevity there. So you think about Brandon Belt is in the farm. Remember in 2010, before he was coming up, he hit 352, 23 homers, 112 RBIs. And he was one of the Giants' top prospects. He was making the All-Star game in AAA. He was really good down in Fresno. He was third base, the third best first baseman prospect on MLB.com prior to the 2011 season. 26 wow. overall. And you know what? I'm not going to say he's been a bum because he's not. Look, his World Series against the Kansas City Royals, Brandon Belt was pretty damn good
he
at the plate and in the, full, and in the field. Brandon Belt was pretty good when they needed him to be. So, look, it's always going to be skewed, right? People are either going to love Brandon Belt or hate him. It's because of the fanfare that I think why I go the other way on him, because the giraffe hats, the hype. And a long time during his tenure as a Giant, people were saying he's a better hitter than Buster Posey. I just couldn't buy it. I didn't buy it because of the walks. Oh, he has a great eye. He's never been able to hit that letter-high fastball inside, chest high. At one point, did I ever think he was a better hitter than Buster Posey. So I got him ranked third on my all-time first in my lifetime. In my lifetime. Yeah. Will Clark, J.T.
I just got this feeling. B, you and I are going to be going to AT&T Park, Oracle, whatever the hell they're calling it at that time. Might be Facebook or Twitter, ballpark, whatever the heck they're going to corporate company going to sign up with them. But I have a feeling we're going to be there like 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Number 9 is going to get retired.
No,
you put on that wall of fame.
He'll go on the wall of fame. They won't retire his number. They're not going to go that far.
I have a feeling they're going to really try to immortalize a lot of guys from this three World Series run. And I'm not saying that they will. I'm just saying I have a feeling that sentiment is not going to be what it is today. I think it's going to change over time. I think the memory of Brandon Belt will be looked at much more fondly than it is in real time, whether that's right or wrong.
Boy, you look at the numbers for Brandon Belt. They retire number 9, and they might as well retire everybody's jersey from that roster.
I mean, I want Kent 21 retired way before that.
I mean, this guy has 130 home runs in 10 years. 130 home runs in 10 years. Now, I get it that he got hurt. He had some wrist injuries. He had one season in, 2017, where he hit 18, and it looked like he was destined to hit 20 home runs. But he's never hit more than 18. He's never had more than 82 RBIs. He's never hit better than 289 in 2013, where he played in 150 games. Brandon Belt, if he gets his number retired now, the Giants will put anybody on the Wall of Fame. Let's just be honest. They'll put anybody in the Wall of Fame. It will have a plaque on the wall. They'll have him back here when he honored the championship teams. That will happen. That will happen. But if they go a step further and retire number 9, come on, man. Brandon Belt, stop it.
Well, and I think that's where my frustration stems from. When they retained him and gave him the contract and the years kept going on and they weren't going to trade him, they couldn't move off him, I kept looking at him going, he's going to be a longer tenured San Francisco Giant than Will Clark. And I know there's circumstances beyond Will Clark's control. He hit free agency and he wanted to leave because they chose to pay Robbie Thompson. But it just feels criminal to say it out loud. Will Clark will have been a Giant less than Brandon Belt was a Giant. And I know there's more that goes into it. It's just I look so fondly, and a lot of guys from our age group look so fondly at someone like Will Clark and what he meant to Giants fans in the 80s and in the early 90s. And then to have Brandon Belt just be that first baseman for so long, it's just and that's why I say, like, I do think, man, 15 years from now, I think it's going to be a different tune on Brandon Belt and how we look back on it. I think we're going to look back a lot more fondly than we are right now.
Well, I'll give him his due for helping the Giants win their championships, but the take I have today is the take I'm going to have in 15 years. Use your eyes, folks. Use your eyes on Brandon Belt. I'm sorry. There's going to be people who argue and say, oh, he never got the credit he deserved. I'm going to say he had too much. He got too much credit. He received too much praise in his Giants career, Brandon Belt. And here on the text line from the 510, Butcher Boy, you're right. Number 9 will be retired, but for Matt Williams and not Brandon Belt. I mean, now that I think about it, it's absolutely criminal. He's wearing Matt Williams' jersey. Matt Williams should have number 9 retired, for crying out loud. If you're going to retire a number, retire Matt Williams' number. Come on.
Well, I mean, you're over here making the argument for Matt Cain, and Drew Smiley's wearing his number 18.
Yeah,
I was offended the first time I saw that. So, and again, I like Cain, but I wasn't like this Matt Cain homer. I was a Lincecum homer. That was my guy. Not that I didn't like Cain.
You know, you're funny, Shasky.
Number thing drives me nuts.
You're
Why?
Funny, Shasky, Why? Because you were getting Why? On me the other day about loving all the stars. And here it comes out. Old Shasky loves the glitz and glamour. He loves a guy who gets the flashes going.
Everybody's a Timmy guy. Washington. I mean, man, when they took him instead, come on, how dare you? How dare you even try to critique my Tim Lincecum love. I mean, I got jersey 55 going back to 2008,
oh my
B.
Lord.
All right, if you really want to talk
jersey.
About it.
Congratulations.
And I got his gold one. And I got his gold one when they won the ring because, you know, Timmy hung the first banner. That being said, I don't like the way the Giants hand out numbers. Like, it really frustrates me. 22 was circulating for way too long. They were finally going to retire it this year. There was going to be a ceremony. Pandemic kind of screwed that up. But, like, there are certain numbers for San Francisco Giants players that are sacrilegious. That you cannot give to someone else. Dustin Moore should never have worn 22. Dan Uglas should have never worn 22. Jake Peavy should have never been wearing number 22. 22 should have been saved. What is Mike Murphy doing? Like, what are we doing here? 21? I love Freddie Sanchez. Freddie Sanchez shouldn't have worn number 21. There's only one number 21 on my book for the San Francisco Giants. That's Jeff freaking Kent, all right? That's who number 21 is.
Do you have his jersey?
No, I do not.
Because
wow, they did
I'm shocked.
Make those.
I'm
they
shocked.
Didn't make those. You couldn't find a Jeff Kent jersey. No. This team didn't wrap their arms around shocked. Jeff Kent.
So how many?
I got a K. Mitch. Yeah. I got a K. Mitch 7.
So how many jerseys do you have? Let's look across the three platforms here when it comes to jerseys, because I know a lot of people love their jerseys. I love jerseys growing up, but I got to a certain age where I was just like, I'm not buying jerseys anymore. I'm not doing that. It seems like you have basically a pretty big catalog of jerseys, whether it's the Giants, the Warriors, or the Niners.
For the Giants, off the top of my head, I got two or three Bonds ones for sure, a gray, a black. I got a gray pullover practice jersey with the San Francisco script on the front. I got the black practice jersey from the 80s, a mesh pullover. I got that one for sure. Got the two Willie Mayses. Got to have a Willie Mays one. I mean, you got to have
hey, look,
a Willie Mays
hey, like Stidey
one.
Says,
I got two Lincecums.
Hey, like Stidey what? Always says, man, you are a franchise's best friend. Organizations love guys like you because they can get to that credit card in a heartbeat. It don't take much for Joe Shasky to swipe that credit card. At
Stein is cheap.
Park.
I mean, that's it's to each his own. When you got it, you can spend it. All right.
Man.
So and then I got a Kevin Mitchell. In fact, I actually loaned the Kevin Mitchell to my dad. He was getting a little too big for me, so he's putting that one in his personal collection. I got the Will Clark all white one. You know, with the white Giants.
All right,
with the
we get it.
Letters.
We get it. Yeah, I shouldn't even ask you the question. I know you got a lot of jerseys.
The new one that I'm going to get is that black SF one. Lord. I want that one.
Oh,
24. It's got 20 at 24. I talked to my boy Joey Nevin. I said, Joey, I'm going to have to get that one, buddy. He said, what size are you? I said, I'll get back to you on that. I'm going to have to get down to the dugout store and try one on.
Man.
Lost a little weight right now. I think the slim look will look a little better on me.
Oh, man. Oh, my Lord. You're going to be buying jerseys up until you're 60. Shirt jerseys. Jerseys, pullover jerseys.
Well, I don't sit in the press box like you, so you know I'm with the fans.
I'm telling you.
And so I like to endear myself to my team and wear my colors on my sleeve.
What's wrong with that? You love this press box thing. I think you're jealous of the press box, man. I think you really are jealous of just me sitting up there, chilling, covering the game, peace and quiet, get the TVs and watch the replay, break it down. I think you got something against the press box, man. You hate on the press box.
I hate on the parking pass. Look, the Giants got the best uniforms ever. I don't care what anyone – their uniforms
ever?
Are a top five baseball. They're top five baseball jersey. They are. The Giants and the A's, in my opinion, are both in the top five. When you talk about every single one of their jerseys that they have and where they stack up amongst all of the other jerseys for other teams, Yankees is so iconic, so they're going to be in your top five. I'm going to put the Cardinals, Red Sox, Giants, and A's. If I were to say top five, every jersey they have, every single jersey they have, I'm going with those five organizations.
I would go in baseball. I would go Yankees. Red Sox. Actually, I would go Yankees, Orioles. I love that Oriole bird on the jersey. I would go Yankees, Orioles, A's. Let me see. Top five. You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I love those Kansas City Royals jerseys, especially the powder blue.
Ugh.
The powder
blue, Dodger
blue. George Brett uniforms. Oh, my gosh. They were so
Get
sweet.
Get out of here.
So sweet. Let me see. The Braves jerseys are pretty damn good. I can't stand the Braves, but I think they have a really good uniform. Giants are in the top 10. I'll put the Giants in the top 10.
Come on, man. The black jersey, the orange jersey, the grays, the aways, full San Francisco.
The cream jerseys
the
are the best. The cream jerseys and the road grays with the SF patch. I'm not a big fan of the black. I'm not a big fan of the orange. Not a big fan of the orange either. I really not.
No, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, you weren't in the press box when Bonds broke the record when he had the black jersey on Friday night against Chan Ho Park.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That makes total sense. I get that.
It has everything to do with the press box.
But here's the underrated one. Here's the underrated jersey. The Cincinnati Reds. They have a collection of jerseys that I think are smooth. And I also think the Pirates are my honorable mention. So if I had two honorable mentions, I'm going with the Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds.
I love the original Florida Marlins jerseys with the pinstripes.
Me too.
I love those. Joey Jealous should be the new nickname for Butcher Boy. You are jealous of me being in the press box, man. You act like I just got that press pass overnight. Boy had to work for that. You wouldn't know nothing about that, man, covering these high school games. In the rain on a Friday night, covering St. Ignatius versus Burley game in a CCS playoff game. What you know about that, Shasky? Come on. Blue collar.
Oh, that's a lie. What do you think about these doubleheader seven-inning games? That's what I want to ask you about, because we haven't had an opportunity to have the Giants have this yet. We haven't seen the A's have this yet. Are you in or are you out on seven-inning doubleheader games?
I'm in, but it kind of contradicts the message baseball's trying to get across when it comes to COVID-19.
Why?
Because you got two games and you got players lingering around the park for maybe 5 to 6 hours. And aren't we trying to minimize the risk of catching COVID-19? To me, that's maximizing the risk. That's saying, you know what? Hang out at a ballpark for 5-6 hours. Let's go ahead and do it. I don't mind the 7-inning doubleheaders. But when it comes to that, when I think about the health and everything, I don't think it makes too much sense. What about you?
I'm actually more open-minded to it, and now I'm going to sound like the guy who doesn't care about health, because I obviously do care about health.
Yeah, you talked about the Giants being in shape.
Well, there's no nutritionalist. I mean, get one. Nutribullet. Get yourself one. You know, you can order it up on Amazon. But I mean this. Like, I'm okay with it. It's a crazy season. It's an outlier all the way across the board. There's going to be more playoff teams. There's less games than ever. This is a television product, all right? It's a television product. And too many people are clinging to the past. It's really, really difficult to squeeze in the television product that is baseball in a 2.5-hour window. If you're asking people to dedicate more than 2.5 hours of their night every single night, you're asking a lot. Like, you're really asking a lot. And I don't think you're maximizing the TV money. So it's not an in-game experience sport anymore.
So you think
it's still a television product.
So do you think people will really sit up there? If they're not sitting on their couch watching 3-hour baseball games, do you really think they're going to sit up here for 5-6 hours and watch two games in a day? Yeah.
No, that's I'm not saying that that's correct. I'm just saying I'm actually liking that they're going towards seven innings, because I'm telling you,
I would think
the more and more I look at television products, again, you could disagree, that's fine. The more and more I look at the television product, it's drawn out and long. It takes way too long. And if you're one of these network broadcast partners, you're probably saying, hey, man, we got to turn these games over. We can't have 4-hour games that are going on forever. I'm losing my audience. Like, that's what a lot of the big boys, they don't want to partner up with Major League Baseball because of that. They love soccer. FS1 has said this time and time again. ESPN has made this clear. We love soccer because we know we can front load the commercials. We have exactly the amount of time. We know exactly how long it's going to take. And I'm in and out in less than 2 hours. They love that. They can pack as many games as they want in a 6 or 7 hour window. They can squeeze in all their commercials. They know exactly how long it's going to take. As a television product, soccer is vastly superior to baseball, specifically because they can control the time limit.
Look at you watching some soccer. Welcome to
Welcome
to the club, buddy. Welcome to the club. Let's go to Mark in P-Town. Mark in P-Town wants to talk about 780 games. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mark?
What's up?
How you guys doing, man? Shasky, I'm right on with you with the 7-inning games for the doubleheaders. When I was in college, it was a wooden bat league, and we played 60 games in 60 days, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had to make up the games that got rained out or whatever. But the doubleheaders that we had were, the first doubleheader was a 9-inning game, and the second one was a 7-inning game. So it can kind of work, but you got to make sure that that first game is 9 innings.
Okay, I like that. I hadn't heard that nuance.
7-inning doubleheaders, I'm okay with, but again, to me, it contradicts the message you're trying to have about the safety and health regulations.
That's fair.
But two 7-inning games, just period, these are the big leagues, man. These are the big leagues. If somebody can't stay up for another 15, 20 minutes to watch another two innings of baseball, well, guess what? You're not a true fan. All of a sudden, everybody wants the game to be sped up and, we got to put the kids to bed. Screw all that. Baseball is nine innings, man. Nine innings. This isn't Little League. This isn't college baseball. This isn't high school. The big boys play nine. I'm out on seven innings. If they're moving towards seven-inning games, then I think you're going to have more fans out on this. I don't care how quick it is or how it's packaged. Screw that. I don't care.
B, they already have you hooked. They have my dad hooked. They have my grandfather hooked. We're going to watch no matter what, no matter how angry we get. Do you know who they want to hook? The 10-year-old, the 11-year-old,
the 10-year-old's going to watch nine. The 10-year-old wants more baseball.
They're going to bed at 10 o'clock,
Monte.
Wait till you become a father one day, and you're going to have to be putting your kids down to bed. You're going to be saying, man, I wish this game ended a half an hour ago.
Man.
That's what you're going to be
saying. No, I'm not. I'm cut from a different cloth, man. I'm cut from a different cloth. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. We're going to talk about the Niners. Nick Bosa and Trent Williams is talking to the media today as the Niners are down in training camp. Down in Santa Clara. We'll get into that sound and play some of that for you guys here and talk about the NBA bubble. NBA bubble going on right now. Zion kind of looks like he's out of shape right now. He looks like he's out of shape.
888-957-9570.
So damn good.
Do they have Taco Bell in the bubble? We'll figure that out here coming up on 570 Game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service baking. No compromises.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.